from the heart of Texas,
where he met his one and only true love. Proving that this guy really does know how to love well.
Because there's no way he won her over with his looks.
Therefore, he must be the relationship genius of our generation. Get ready for the best advice you'll ever hear on how to keep your relationships thriving. Welcome to the Smalley Podcast with your host, Michael Smalley.
Have you ever seen the movie Dumb and Dumber? Yeah, because you kind of need to have that movie in your memory bank right now, because the movie Dumb and Dumber is sort of the theme to my life with my best friend since the age of, how old were you when we met?
I think it was five.
5 years old. I was 20. And I wasn't 20. I was seven-ish, six and a half. And that'll just give you context as you try to listen to this show today and you get a little lost or you get a little confused or sound a little distracted. It's weird when you grow up with someone and you're an idiot all your lives, and then you're in your 40s and you realize I'm still an idiot. I want to welcome to the show the CEO and Grand Poobah of Camp Barnabas, just outside of Springfield, Missouri, Jason Bronner.
Hello. Yes, thank you. That is wonderful.
We have a live studio audience.
Look at all of them.
Jason. No, Jason, welcome. This is the first time to ever be on our show.
I know. I'm pretty excited.
It is actually extremely exciting to have you here. And especially, when did you take this job as CEO of Camp Barnabas?
I have been the CEO since actually May. Of 2012.
And you started working there.
It's almost been 4 years now.
4 years ago, you started working there, and now you're the CEO. And I remember when you called me and you said what you were doing, it just made sense.
It does make sense.
It does. Now tell everybody, well, actually, before we even get into that, just to kind of give you a preview of our life, last night, you and I were driving back to my home. Yeah.
This is where the Dumb and Dumber comes in.
this is when you'll suddenly understand. We're driving home from downtown Houston because you're in town.
I am.
You're doing business things.
That's right.
I think that's what you can call it. And so I met up with you in downtown. We met an old friend from Kanaka, who's now a very strong, powerful lawyer. And we're driving home, and all you have to do, your only job is to follow me on the tollway, the Hardy Tollway, which is like wide open. There's no traffic, nothing, right? Geez.
Yeah, no, it's pretty. Yeah.
Good grief. We get to the first toll booth, and what happens? Because I have a toll tickety thing, so I can go through the fast lane.
Yeah.
You have to pull into the deal and pay the toll.
Yes.
Tell everybody what happened.
So here's what happened. That's exactly what I did. I pulled in and paid the toll, but in the toll booth next to me was this vehicle that looked exactly like Michael's, and I thought, "Oh, how nice! He's pulling. This is so kind." He's
which
really
was your first mistake because I wouldn't have been kind nor loving to do that.
So as the vehicle leaves, I follow it, and I'm on the phone, kind of conducting some business, and it's getting dark, and all this, you know, I'm just kind of following, and all of a sudden we get off of the tollway. And I'm like, "Well, maybe." I don't know. Maybe we're stopping by somewhere on the way back to his house.
Because you knew it was around a 45-minute drive back to my house. But off the freeway after 5 minutes.
So I followed
this guy. Second mistake, by the way.
There's more, I promise. And so eventually we're in this really kind of rough-looking neighborhood.
By the way,
what are we doing?
For you listeners, the roughest conceivable neighborhood you could pull off into in Houston. Which is saying a lot.
It really is. So
in essence, you're tailgating this guy.
I'm right.
You're like right on him because you don't want to get lost in this frightening neighborhood.
No. And so, you know, this guy doesn't do anything weird thinking it's Michael. Pull up to this gated house. And this is not like a big, you know,
not like
house.
A fancy gated house.
No, like it's
there's a
murderers. Padlock on the gated house. And as soon as he pulls up, I realize something's not right.
And just now you're realizing this.
Yes.
I like that.
And there's a giant Camp Barnabas car with this crazy paint color scheme and all this other words and stuff on it. And I'm like,
I actually thought it was a Barnum and Bailey car when he first pulled up.
It's pretty crazy. So, yeah, so I immediately hang up the phone and go park down the street thinking at least hopefully maybe this guy doesn't think I'm after him and he's going to kill me or something.
Well, horrible. What made you finally realize it wasn't me?
Well, as I looked, I go, hey, wait, he didn't have like little plates on the side there. What is, oh my, and I look
I've
in,
made an enormous mistake.
And there's this guy that looks nothing like Michael. I'm like, he changed drivers.
What?
Oh,
I didn't
gosh.
Know he had a driver.
That's when I called Michael and said, I think I'm in very, very big trouble. You have to find me now.
You know what the saddest part is? I wasn't surprised. It didn't like shock me like, what? What are you talking about?
Geez.
I don't. It was kind of like, oh, that's typical. You got to the toll booth and followed the wrong truck.
Yeah. It's nice. Not a hard thing to. Yes.
It is kind of a hard thing.
Ah, dang it.
That's the problem with ADD right there. Have you accepted that diagnosis yet?
Yes, kind of.
A little bit? You're still a little resistant to it. Even though last night you followed the wrong truck out of the toll booth.
Almost got killed.
You're still resisting the idea you might be a little ADD.
Hold on. Let's talk about your end of that story.
Hey.
Where the little guy.
Hey, I was actually trying to be loving, so I pull off on the side of the tollway, and I go, hey, you're going to pass this sign for Ritchie Road. I'm going to be just past it. I'm on the feeder, or not the feeder, but the shoulder, and I'll have my hazards on. And as I'm trying to talk him off the cliff because he's having an anxiety attack, trying to get out of this murderous neighborhood, I'm like, dude, you won't miss me. Wait a minute. There's a truck pulling up behind. Oh, Jason, this guy's got really weird. Jason, there is something that is rising above its hood. What are you talking about? I went, Jay, wait, what is it? Was like some toll booth saver guy.
It was the saver guy.
Yeah. And the next thing I know, there's a gigantic vehicle parked behind me with these blue and white and yellow lights. But he actually has an automatic huge sign that mechanically
extends.
Yeah, extends or it gets. I don't want to use certain language with you.
You're so weird.
And it has like this gigantic, what did it have, an arrow?
Arrows and lights and everything. So whenever I finally come around the corner and see all this, it looks like the Barnum and Bailey Circus is going on.
He goes, am I going to be able to find you? I went, you're not going to miss me. I'm telling you, there is no conceivable way. Sun is lit behind me. Well, that's just a little preview into our life. And that's probably the most docile example we could have given today. Well, before we get going much further, I do want to make sure that all of you understand my wife and I released a new study called Celebrating Forever.
Ooh.
It is an 8-week study you can do just as a couple, but I'd prefer that you do it in a group.
Mm.
And it's actually Celebrating Forever is based off of our intensive. And it's sort of we tried to put our intensive model that's been just crazy successful and around 83% successful in couples in crisis who go through the program and we've wanted something to be able to kind of package that and put the intensive in a box, and that's the Celebrating Forever study. So make sure you go to smalleycenter.com, and you'll see it right there on the homepage, Celebrating Forever. It's at an introductory price, so it'll never be as low as it is now. And because I am fully acknowledging my ADHD, I actually can't remember the price of it right now, which is sort of typical. But you get two workbooks and the DVD, the little short video intros, and for $99.
Cool.
So that's a good deal, folks. And as always, if you're a loyal listener, we appreciate your reviews. So don't forget on iTunes to leave a review. Let us know what you think of the show, even if it's a nasty one. I'll take it. Because maybe you'll help the show get better.
Yes.
You never know. All right, so here's the deal. In today's show, you're going to discover there is something that a couple can have in their relationship that leads 80% of them to end up divorced. That's a
true.
Pretty big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, if that doesn't get your attention, then we're going to have to share more stories.
You don't want that.
No, because honestly, if there's something that you can have in your relationship as a married couple that if you don't do it right, if you don't handle it right, it leads to an 80% divorce rate. That is stunning. So
every time.
So that's just to get you guys interested, because what we're going to do is we're going to help you know exactly what you have to do to avoid divorce if this is going on in your relationship. And to get us there, Jason, describe, what is Camp Barnabas?
Camp Barnabas is a summer camp, Christian summer camp for kids with special needs. During the summer, we have 8 terms, actually 10 now, and each term caters to a different type of disability. And so with that...
So there's like developmental disabilities,
exactly.
Physical disabilities, and whatever range falls into that.
Okay. Exactly. And we've divided up the terms so that when kids come to camp, they are with somebody like them. And it's
wait, that, well, hold on a second. Yeah. That sounds really cool. Why do you organize the terms kind of by group so that they're with someone with a similar disability? Why is right. that important?
Well, it's number one, most kids get to see, hey, you know what? I'm not the only person in the world that has this disability. There are others out there, and we can be in the same cabin. We can swap stories. We can talk about different things going on in our lives. In fact, we also cater to the siblings of those campers as well.
Very cool.
So those same conversations get to go along for the siblings of kids with special needs.
God, that's got to be huge for a kid.
It is.
Especially a sibling of a child with a disability of some sort.
Yeah.
I mean, they could. They must feel extremely isolated because there's not a lot, right? There's not like a gigantic percentage of our population.
No, not a gigantic percentage.
Yeah, and so they're very alone.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So with that, we get to do some amazing things with our campers. We get to give them their favorite week of the year because each of our campers has a one-on-one volunteer that is there to make their week amazing. Also, at the other end of it...
Wait, and you call those volunteers what?
They're called CIAs, or Christians in Action.
Dude, and I'm telling you, you actually told my kids last night that they're always within an arm length
always.
Of their camper.
That's right.
Which
that's,
is so cool.
That's the guideline there. You are always within an arm length of your camper. If you're in your cabin, you, as a volunteer, sleep on the top bunk. Your camper sleeps on the bottom bunk. When they get up, you get up. You are with them always. So it's
And how long is the term?
A week.
Okay, so 7 days.
That's right. And so with that, another neat thing that happens during that week is that mom and dad get a break. We call it respite.
Respite.
Where just like any typical kid that goes to camp, when kiddo goes to camp, mom and dad get a break for a week from everything going on. It's just a whole lot more valuable for our parents with kids with special needs because there's a lot that goes into having those kids and to their care and their not just physical care but emotional care as well. And so it's an important week for everybody.
Yeah, it is. And I've actually been out there and I've seen it. And this kind of leads right into the teaser there about, and this is staggering to me, that couples who have a child with a disability, physical or developmental, they have an 80% divorce rate.
It's true.
And I have to believe it's really, and this is what we always say, because it's never the affair that causes divorce. It's never the child with a disability that causes the divorce. It's never the in-laws that causes the divorce.
Right.
It is always how you handle those trials.
That's exactly right.
Or those difficulties.
That's exactly right. And so that's what's so hard when a family gets together, a baby's coming, and they find out either before or after the baby's born that the baby's going to have some sort of disability. And then the entire family has to change their way of thinking and the expectations of what life is going to be like for them and for that child for the rest of their life. And it's hard. People grieve the life that they're not going to get to have, that they were expecting to have because of the disability, whatever it is, of that child. And most handle it poorly. Most don't understand.
I mean, it sounds like 80% of them.
Yeah, exactly. And most don't understand, and maybe some other time we can talk about this, the blessing that is for that family. And how that extends a blessing to the people around them, and how that changes and can change their family for the better. And
well, it's really not a disability. It's an opportunity.
That's exactly right.
It sounds like.
That's exactly right.
But they don't see it that way.
No.
They see it as the negative, and this is bad, and here's what we don't get to do. And what they fail to see through the clouds is, wait a minute. There are a tremendous amount of opportunities and things that are going to grow us, that are going to make us stronger, that are going to make us more loving, more more bonded as
That's
a
right.
family. And so they handle the conflict poorly, and they handle the stress. But here's the problem, and I bet you this is true, and I don't have a lot of experience in this, which is why you're on the show. But I could imagine, I mean, stress is stress, right? So who's to say couples that don't have a kid with a disability aren't, I mean, everybody goes through stress.
Sure.
And it feels like couples who have a child with a disability might amplify that, which in many cases, especially with children with the more severe cases that really are almost even unable to care for themselves. I get that. That's a much bigger load.
Sure.
So never to minimize that. But at the end of the day, we're going to give you today, especially obviously for those families and those couples dealing. So it might not be you, because we know that percentages are low, but you probably know somebody.
Sure.
And this is that show you want to pass on to the family or the couple dealing with a child with a disability. Because we're going to give you 5 things that you can do to avoid that 80% fail rate.
That's right. So what people don't understand too, man, when you're married and have kids just without special needs, my wife and I, Allison, have 3 kids, and it is tiring. It is exhausting doing the things, doing baseball and soccer and all the other things that you do, the school projects, all that stuff. But what you don't realize is that parents that have children with special needs have that, but the care involved for their child, whether it's physical or developmental, is exhausting. It's full-on exhausting. And I really believe that a lot of this above and beyond exhaustion contributes to the lack in good communication. They're
almost too tired to do
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. They are in survival mode, especially when, you know, at different points when they're trying to get through how best to deal with their child's disability.
And I'm looking at these 5 things we're going to share, and what just hit me is there's an overall category. I think what we're going to tell you today is if you have a child with a physical or developmental disability, the heart of the thing that you need most is good self-care.
That's right.
That's
exactly
kind of the umbrella. Right. Is that fair?
That is absolutely true.
The umbrella is good self-care, because you are so exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Really, guy, that is, man, that is huge. Because you're so exhausted, then you don't have an option. You can't skimp out like you and I. You know, we just have.
We can call a sitter.
Yeah, we can.
We can take our wives out.
God,
we can
do huge. That. It's easier, and we can also slack off a little bit.
Sure.
Because we don't have the overwhelming exhaustion and the different things that might go into a child with a disability.
Right.
And so we can slack a little. I mean, that's never good for anybody. But at the end of the day, what we're telling you, if you are that couple, you don't have that option.
No.
There is no slacking on your self-care. So let's get to number one. For the couples you've seen that are successful, so they're doing well, they love each other, they're loving their child, the family's thriving. The first thing that you came up with is they what?
They put their marriage first. Mm-hmm. In families that do well, whether they have kids with special needs or not, you always put your marriage first. Allison and I have a rule that every year, because of camp is a crazy place. It's wonderful and fun. My family loves it, enjoys it, but there are 12, sometimes 16-hour work days for me, and I don't get to see my family a whole lot. So I have to be intentional in the off season to really take care of my family. But in doing that, I have to, number one, take care of my marriage. Since we started at camp, Alice and I take a honeymoon every year, whether it's we're going, you know, overseas or somewhere, a good resort somewhere, or whether we're just going and escaping somewhere. We go for a week every year, just the two of us, because what we tell our kids is that if mom and dad's relationship is not working, if we're not working, our family doesn't work.
And if your family doesn't work, your neighborhood is out of control, the community, the state, the country,
there
the whole world.
There you go. Should tell you where we are right now.
I know. It does, actually.
So with that, it's most important to put your marriage first in your family. Obviously, God in your marriage. But put your marriage above anything else. It's so hard, again, with kids with special needs that there's so much involved in making sure that they're cared for, their basic needs are cared for.
But I think that's what's so awesome about Camp Barnabas is
absolutely
that these couples know they can drop their kid off at whatever level,
mm-hmm.
whatever week that their kid is best fit for.
Right.
They know that you have the training, the yep. staff, and the facilities to to do a fantastic job.
Absolutely.
It was fun. Y'all might not know this, but Camp Barnabas was actually on Extreme Home Makeover.
Yeah, it was like in 06.
I know, but
yeah.
The pool and the,
yeah.
I mean, the stuff that they built for you guys is extraordinary. And then you've just continued
yeah.
to make improvements
yep.
even since the show. So number two is, so number one was put your marriage first. So make it a priority, which is really good for any marriage. Number two, though, is you told us don't make their special needs the focus of your family.
That's right. That's right.
Which is not to be confused with focus on the family, which is where my brother is now.
That's hilarious.
This is the focus of your family.
The focus of your family.
What do you mean by that?
Well, again, a lot of times, especially the primary caregiver, which is usually mom in most cases, and it is in typical families as well, where mom or the primary caregiver will be so wrapped up in caring for that specifically the disability of the child that they will put that as the a number one thing in their life. And you know what? Some days it's got to be. It just has to be. But on the whole, it can't be every day because that will erode your marriage every time. I don't know
what I did. I had one of those moments. I don't know why. You know how my brain works.
I'm afraid I do.
But and it's many times inappropriate, so I chose just to skate on by.
I missed it.
So we've said, number one, put your marriage first. Number two, don't make their special needs the focus of your family, which means, yes, and I like that because people in any circumstance, frankly, they sometimes lose sight of the fact that there are seasons.
Yeah.
And there's days and there are times where, no, you can't do what you really want to do, but whatever's happening, you kind of have to deal with that.
Right.
But again, you go back to point number one.
Yeah.
If your marriage is a priority, you'll get through those mm-hmm. times that you just kind of have to do it. And
yeah.
your child is, you know, maybe in a real bad situation and there's a lot of stuff going on or back and forth from the hospital. Well, that's that. But at the point, there comes a point, again, with self-care that I realize if I don't have the energy, if I don't do what I need to give myself that good energy, a break, a vacation,
right.
Well, then I'm going to be a horrible parent. I'm not even a good caretaker of
right.
my child.
Right.
When I'm wiped out, everybody's wiped
yeah,
out.
Yeah. Let me give you a good example of what it looks like to put your kid's special need first.
Okay.
We have, and this is so hard to do for everybody. Again, typical or with special needs, when your kids go off to camp, allowing them to go somewhere, we get on the phone every year with parents that are asking questions about just intricate questions that end up not sending their kids. And it's because, not because their kid's not ready, it's because mom or dad is not ready. And with that, they are giving up that week for themselves, that respite for themselves that they can go and do, and you know we're near Branson in Northwest Arkansas, and there's some amazing lodges and resorts that they can drop little Johnny off at camp and go enjoy the week together and come back. But the parents that have that, the focus of their family is that special need, they can't quite let go of that. And when I say some of our kids, quote unquote, are 20 years old. Depends on the week,
mm-hmm.
but they can't quite let go of that because that is their life, and that is what their focus is.
And they almost don't feel safe outside of that.
Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. It has nothing to do with their kid's ability.
No.
It has to do with what mom and dad are comfortable with and what their norm is.
Yeah, and what their priority is.
Yeah.
All right, so number three is you tell us, get your kids involved in programs, school, camp, community, church. Get them out there. Why?
Well, for a lot of the reasons that we talked about, but for mom and dad is, I keep coming back to that because if mom and dad can't have their marriage and they can't have that time away from their child with special needs, then they can't lead their families strongly in a godly manner. There are so many, especially nowadays, even in small communities, there's so many programs where you can, there's day hab programs, or even with your public schools, there are programs.
Well, I had a couple in an intensive with a child, a boy who was pretty significantly, some pretty intense learning disabilities because he was a preemie.
Uh-huh.
And preemies oftentimes,
sure.
you meet them and you'd have probably no idea that anything's right. wrong or anything
right.
broken, because socially they do fine yeah. and they look normal. But yet there could be some really intense brain functioning that just doesn't work.
Right.
Therefore, they can't be at level, right, at
right.
grade.
Right.
And I like, because this one family was determined to give their son as normal of an upbringing, and so kept him, because socially he could handle the
sure.
kids of his same age.
Sure.
Academically, 2 to 3 grades behind. But this public school,
mm-hmm.
a public school,
mm-hmm.
absolutely was able to cater to this family. Now, they
sure.
had to fight for it a little
sure.
bit, and they had to, you know, push for it.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, this boy got to go and be with his friends
right.
and still do the appropriate level work
yep.
and not feel isolated and not feel stupid.
Yeah.
And I think that's – do you find that with couples that – or families that some of them have maybe – never tried out of fear or out of ignorance, where they just they don't even realize all the different things that are out
right,
there.
Right. Well, some of what I've seen has been families who have kids with special needs that put them in a public school program, and then they get tired of getting called 3 days a week of we're having a meltdown, or we're having issues again today, and they pull them out and they only homeschool them, and they feel like they're protecting their child from just outside influences. But what they're doing is they're robbing that child of the ability to go and be a part of the typical community, where they will someday, whether mom or dad likes it or not, someday they will be in that community, because mom and dad aren't going to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a program with Barnabas. The Barnabas Foundation has another program called Barnabas Prep. It's a 9-month school program for post high school folks that are between 18 and 30, where they come learn job skills, life skills, and discipleship for a year. And it's 9 months. But they the thing that we see is the first 6 weeks of the program, it is it's a killer for parents. Mom and dad are calling every day asking, well, are you sure about this?
Did you remember that?
Yes. Or, hey, I got a text from little Johnny that says he's having a bad day. Are you sure? He's like, well, yeah, we all have bad days.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's that letting go, being able to put them somewhere where it's safe, where they're going to get to have a positive experience. And that's our goal with the Barnabas Prep program is just that, to train those, not just the students, but the parents too, that, hey, look, there is life outside of the four walls of your house.
Yep.
There are things out there to be done for everyone, including mom and dad. I also mentioned community and church. You know, the hard thing right now is that in the United States, of all the churches in the United States, only 1% have a special needs program. And 15% of people that go to church, Christian church in the United States, have a special need. It's a huge, huge gap that we're trying to help fill with one of our new programs, where we're writing and implementing church curriculum for churches, helping them get special needs programs started so that somebody can come and have a wonderful Barnabas, God-filled, positive experience once a week instead of just a 1 week a summer. And we can do that in a way that mom and dad feel safe going doing their service and their
kid is well taken care of.
Exactly. Not just well taken care of, but getting exposure to the word in a way that's effective for those kids.
Well, and for especially the pastors or the churches listening, or if you're in leadership at your church, or if you have a child with special needs and you need to pay attention to that. I actually worked at a church here in the Woodlands, the Woodlands United Methodist Church, which is a great little church. Well, not little, it's gigantic. But I'll tell you, it was the first church I'd ever been involved in that had a special needs program.
Yeah.
And I promise you, even being on staff, that program in particular was more of a blessing to the staff and to our church community than really almost anything that we did. And that's really the encouragement, is that it makes a difference in everybody's life, not just the kid,
right?
But not just a couple, but also the people that get to serve and volunteer in those things.
Yeah.
All right, let's get the last two, because this really leads number three in terms of getting your kid involved in the programs at school and at camps and at communities and at churches. That really leads into four, which is parents need to be okay with their child having autonomy.
Absolutely. Again, we find people, caregivers, mothers, fathers, who find their identity in having their kids' disability is their identity. And again, that is horrible for a marriage. It's horrible for the family. And so being okay with your, letting your child have that autonomy with the Barnabas Prep program. We take a class trip 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, we just got back. We went on a cruise,
which is so cool,
and it's amazing. On that cruise,
and why wasn't I invited?
I don't know. Okay. We wanted to be safe, and you might light the engine
special,
room
though.
On fire. Yeah, and
that's true.
Anyway, so with that though, it's a neat experiment where the ship is, it's a lot smaller than a city, and where you have a one of our students that says for the first time, they say, hey, you know what, I'm going to run to the room real quick. And you're going, but there's the cabin attendant and the people around the pool and the people that work there that know you by name and that can kind of keep an eye on things and allow that autonomy. It's neat to see that the first steps and the lights that go on for those students. We have one student last year that's she has CP pretty severely.
Cerebral palsy.
Sorry, cerebral palsy, pretty severely, and she wanted to go back to her room by herself, and we said okay. And an hour and a half later, which for somebody without cerebral palsy, it might take 5 minutes. Hour and a half later, she comes back, and it's the most accomplished she's ever felt in her life because she went and got her sunglasses and a book from the room. It was awesome.
No, it is, and I think the last one, and number five, is, man, this is huge. And especially the ones that don't make it, right, that 80% who end up divorcing because of the stress and inability to handle the stress well, you got to believe that number five is a huge issue.
Yeah.
And what is it?
Well, it's just this. Even with special needs, and actually probably because of their special need, God has a plan for your child. I really think that the best of us are chosen to exist in this life with that special need so that they can be so effective to others.
Tell us about your favorite, Stephen Mars.
Probably the most unbelievable man that I know. Stephen Mars, he is a longtime camper. He has cerebral palsy as well, is in a wheelchair, and man, it's the best that he can do to drive his electric wheelchair around. That's difficult for him.
A joystick.
Speaking for him is very labored. He's difficult to understand sometimes, but once you get to know Stephen, you understand him better. Well, Stephen is about 30 years old now. Has a girlfriend now, by the way. It's pretty
nice.
Awesome.
Way to go, Stephen.
He came to me before last summer and said, hey, I want to be on staff. And man, it's just so hard for us because our staffers have to be just not just spiritually and emotionally on the ball, but physically, because there's so much that goes on. And I went back and forth with Steven because he's one of my favorite guys, and said, all right, I'll work something out for you. And so we came up with, he was a summer staff intern for camp last summer. He got to be on staff and do all that, but we stuck him with what we call barnstormers. It's all our junior high kids that they clean up the dining hall, and they scrub toilets, and they set out plates and stuff for the next meal, and they sweep floors, and they do all this crazy stuff. Well, Steven's not one to sit idly by and watch. Even though the guy can hardly drive his chair, he figured out different ways to help. He would get in there. He would be the first one to set up chairs. How he would hook the chair with his wheelchair and drag stacks of chairs into place so that others could come and unstack those. They would he would go and do different things that and before anybody else would. It was so effective for these kids that every week we had somebody either give their life to Christ or draw a line in the sand and make a decision that they were going to live in a way that is honoring to God, because Stephen, even with his level of disability, was obedient to that, was the first one to lead a Bible study or to give a verse of the day or do different things. And to see that example, people just were beside themselves.
Well, not only, I think what Stephen's story tells me is not only is everybody usable by God, and God does. He genuinely has a very important plan for everybody. And I think it feels like what Stephen has shown us is if you're willing, if you're obedient, mm-hmm. and you're open to saying, hey, God, use me, and how do you want to use me, and not to fear any limitations you might have.
Right.
Maybe you're shy, or maybe you have this struggle, or you have a speech issue, or you have a disability of some kind. Knowing that I embrace God's will and plan for my life,
right.
lives are changed.
Right.
And you get to see that all the time.
Every day. And how neat and effective that is. Yeah.
I don't like you anymore.
I get a fun life.
I hate you.
Oh, man.
No, I shouldn't hate you. Well, all right. If people want more information on Camp Barnabas, where can they go?
They can go to www.campbarnabas.org. The prep program is www. There's a lot of W's.
There's like seven W's in that one. I don't even think
limited
you have to do www anymore.
I know, dang it.
I think people know.
It's like I'm 60.
Yeah.
Sorry for you 60-year-olds. It's barnabasprep.com. You
Barnabas,
can go.
And Barnabas is Barnabas.
There you go.
Kind of like it sounds.
There's
a lot
exactly
of A's.
Right. That's right.
So fit in an R and an N and a B in there. And an S at the end,
yeah.
and a bunch of other A's to fill it in. But you got to go to campbarnabas.org or barnabasprep.com. This is a 501c.
That's right.
501c3 organization, which also means that if you might not need to use it for your own self mm-hmm. or for your child, but there are lots of families that can't afford it.
That's right.
And so you can also go to the website and donate as well.
That's right.
Well, thank you, my friend, for coming on.
No problem. Hey, Michael, I just... In ending, wrapping up this whole deal, I just want to say too that, you know, that as we go, I was thinking about the story of me getting lost, and so we all find ways to get lost in life, in our just with ourselves, or especially with our marriages. I've been there. I know we all have, and there is God has a plan for that and for your marriage, and you folks, you families with kids with special needs, man, they're. There's absolutely a plan for you and for your kid, and be honoring of that. Look to Christ for what that might be, and be obedient to that.
Well, it's and stop viewing it as a problem.
That's exactly right.
Because it's not, because we all have them, man.
That's right.
I've shared on this very show of my 17-year massive addiction with food. Well, that was a pretty big problem in my life, and we all have something. No one's going to have the perfect life.
That's right.
So get over it.
That's right.
And realize, hey, where's the blessing? Because it's there. It's promised.
Yep.
James, God promises in the book of James. And so at this point, we've reached that time of the show where there's really only one thing left to say.
Uh-oh.
And now, it is time to say goodbye.
And I'm going to leave you with my friend who has his song, Beautiful Now. I think you'll like it.